Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up, and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Leor Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. If you're not already a subscriber to the series, take that moment right now. Hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening from. We put out multiple interviews every week. In fact, 3 a week at least, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So hit the subscribe button, keep up with us, and up to date with all your favorite artists, too. And that means anywhere, really. iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also subscribe on Spotify or YouTube. If you're over there, you can subscribe there as well. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Nick Hexum of the band 311. There is a brand new 311 record called Voyager, which I will point out interestingly timed with the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. It kind of has nothing to do with that, but it also has a lot to do with that. And Nick will tell us what that is. We'll also hear how it's important for them right now when they're writing a new record to appease old fans, or fans of the old sound, rather, as well as trying new things and venturing out, voyaging out. See? Did it right there, too. We'll hear about songs like Good Feeling and Born to Live, and also the controversy of when they first released the single Crossfire and its ties with a Noise Storm song called Heist. And if you're a follower of 311, you probably know they've got cannabis products, Amber Chocolate, Uplifters. Nick's going to tell us about the history of that and what they plan on doing with those brands in the future. And speaking of future, next year marks the 30th anniversary of 311. There's things in the works, too. Interesting and exciting things. So you're definitely going to hear about that. Talking about the record Voyager, it's Kyle Meredith with 311.
How are you?
Well, man, I've now heard Voyager, and it seems like 311's on a roll again. And I don't say that with any disrespect to any part of a career, because I think every band, if they've been around long enough, kind of goes through these, you know, the peaks and valleys or whatever. But does it feel like there's something special happening with these last few records?
Yeah, I can earnestly say that we, you know, went through a kind of a regrouping phase and then found a new lane, you know, kicked open a new door on Mosaic. And then I would say we cruised through it on this new album, where I guess a lot of bands get caught up in, do we go old school? Do we stick to the tried and true, or do we reinvent? And we just found that having kind of a dual path where we have a certain set of songs that are departures, modern, nothing like you've heard before, and then another set of songs that are old school 311 done in the old school manner. So, because we, you know, you're kind of torn. You don't want to stick just to the traditional, but you don't want to completely leave it behind, because we kind of did invent something special. So it kind of gave us a feeling of freedom, or squashed any anxiety, because we are doing both.
Is that what attracts you to the dual producers there with John Feldman and Scott Rosten? Because it seems like they sort of bring the two things that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's really the most clear division, where the Scotch stuff is done in-house, where we just work at our own studio and do things at a very relaxed pace, and it's not a lot of... Well, in the Feldy situation, it's like our cages are purposely rattled, and we're pushed to completely try different new things, which is a very healthy exercise in itself. And maybe it's a little bit more challenging to, okay, I know you guys normally do stuff this way, but let's try it this way. And then we have to be like, hey, let's try it. So both important parts for our growth, I think.
The title, maybe it's a coincidence. I thought it's an interesting title, because while the Voyager is not what went to the moon, you know, around the time this comes out is actually going to be around the time the 50th anniversary of the moon landing happened. Is that a coincidence, or is there some intelligent thought that went into that?
Yeah, that would be a coincidence. But I do feel that we feel like we're explorers, and we've always been attracted to sci-fi imagery. And, you know, I think we're searchers. We're looking for truth and new territory musically, figuring out life and trying to crack the code of the next perfect song. You know, I feel like we are musical explorers. So the title, somebody suggested it and was like, yes, let's do that. And it fits in really good with the sort of sci-fi imagery of the cover artwork.
The actual Voyager is now the most distant man-made object from Earth. You know, it's the furthest thing that we've ever produced in space, you know, out there. And kind of thinking about how that works its way, to me as a listener, you know, into the record. I mean, of course, you've got a song called Space and Time, and I think there is an obvious thing there. But even on the songs that aren't obvious, you know, take Good Feeling, because we're in the age of anxiety. You know, a lot of people will say that. You know, so everything that's happening down here on this tiny blue dot, I know we get bogged down with a lot in life. All throughout your all's career, it seems to be that one of your missions and maybe mantras is to kind of flip that. I mean, you offer a song like Good Feeling, and it seems like that's trying to say, all right, escape for just a second.
Yeah, and focus on the good things in life again, where, you know, I think people get so wrapped up in their daily lives and maybe start to ignore each other. So a song that is completely just uncorking human joy and connection and unity. You know, that's something that we do well and we maybe kind of got away from for a little bit. And to me, this song harkens back to our very first single, which is Do You Right, which is just a very joyous song about friendship and celebrating life. And there was a time in the late 90s where all these bands were so angry, and we're like, we don't relate with that. That's not our truth. So we're not going to go with that. We're just going to stick to what we do and express our full range of emotions. And yeah, maybe anger comes into it sometimes, but it became such a crutch in music, especially heavy music, for so long. And we just kind of stuck to what we do. And this song to me is it appeals to a really wide variety of people. It's my kids love it. It's a song about a unity, like I said, and I think it's something that we're uniquely suited to do because of the legacy that we have being about unity, and it's a fun one to play.
But, you know, further down then you flip that and Born to Live, I mean, that sounds like it's taking the more concerned routes. Like, yeah, the unity's there, but you're not acting like the rest of the world isn't happening with this song.
Yeah, you know, I think there was that spat of suicides in lead singers, you know what I mean? That to me, I was like, man, I was born to live. And yes, there's a heightened sensitivity that comes with being an artist, but I'm going to see it through. Like, I was born to live. And so just started with that title. And then, you know, also the phrase, skin is paper thin, that I had, like, was sitting on that phrase for such a long time, because I realized that kind of sensitivity comes with being a decent artist. You can't be hard and callous and make good music. So it's like, this is a price I'll happily pay of really feeling. So yeah, it does get into slightly more concerned territory, like you said. I think that's a good summation.
It's one of my favorites on there, and I can throw compliments to songs like Charge It Up and Rolling Through. I mean, those songs are monsters, especially musically, what's going on there. I will bring up, though, you know, it did seem like the whole campaign got off to a bit of a hiccup, because there was controversy at the beginning with the release of the single Crossfire and Noise Storm's Heist. I think you've cleared this up on Twitter, but what happened there?
Well, I think that these things only get really weird when one side denies an influence and denies. But what had happened was, so that was, like you said, it was handled completely amicably, because I was like, yep, you're right. I hadn't really realized what had happened. But a friend of mine had sent me some tracks that I thought were his, and I just kind of was thinking of it as a drum track, and I just started getting carried away with it. And then once I heard, I didn't know where it came from, but then once it was brought to my attention, I was like, yep, you're right. Let's work that out. And so it was handled amicably, and we made a new friend out of it.
That's good, because, you know, we've obviously heard the opposite stories of those moments like that.
Yeah, so often people be like, no, I never heard that song in my life. And I'm like, that's not possible. You know what I mean? So I immediately copped to it and made a new friend out of it.
I was thinking of the far other end of the spectrum too, when you've got a pop artist, especially one. So what was it? Beyonce, when she released the Lemonade record, and the credits list was just, you know, I mean, it was basically a book, because I think we did get in that point where it's like, I have to make sure that I credit every single person that might have influenced a record like this. You know, it's...
Yeah, yeah. And now it has changed, where there maybe was one or two writers in our songs a long time ago. We have gone more and more collaborative. And I would go over to Feldy's, and he would introduce me to a new person. Like Evan Bogart, for example, was the guy that wrote Born to Live with us. And he is just a great writer and a new, really good friend. So I do think it's important to open your mind to more and more collaborations and push yourself out of your comfort zone. And I also heard a podcast about it recently that really supports that biologically, humans have a desire for novelty at a certain age. Maybe it's the time, you know, where people want to go out and have new experiences, maybe move to a new city and go find their fame and fortune. But that's going to be when they're maybe in their younger age, their teens and their 20s, where they have a desire for novelty. So you have to keep stoking that, because your brain will naturally kind of close and be like, okay, well, this is what I already like, and that's it. So you have to keep kind of forcing yourself to be exposed to new experiences, or else you just stay in a rut or in a lane. So for me, that's something I'm very into, is like changing up my experience so I keep growing. And that has come in, you know, having more and more collaborations. Also changing the way I write songs, where sometimes I would say, you know what, I've been working on a computer too long. Now I'm just going to go to the beach with an acoustic guitar and a pad and paper and write a song there, like in super old school way. Other times I'll start with a loop, and you know what I mean? So you got to change the process a lot. Yeah. Sometimes it works out great. Sometimes it doesn't.
Other than the shared word, is there a through line for a dream state to lucid dreams?
Not really. I think a dream is just such a packed word, because it can mean, you know, your big goal in life, or it can mean fantasizing, or it can mean, you know, a literal dream that you have while you're asleep. And I think I've gotten a little bit more educated on what, you know, a good sleep cycle does for your brain and your body. And I think we naturally just get more and more educated on like health and how you gotta take care of yourself and reset. Or in the early days, we were just like partying like crazy people and probably not recharging our brains. So yeah, Scotch and Chad really knocked it out of the park on the song Dream State. It's a very unusual production. And then the way it just opens up, it sounds like you're stepping onto a new planet when you get to that chorus with a really long notes. And I use this guitar that it's a sustainer guitar, where the strings actually play themselves without you having to use a pick, because there's a magnetic pickup that causes the strings to vibrate. So if you'll hear when I hit a chord, then you'll hear these overtones slowly opening up, where it rings out an octave up, which gives it that hugeness. So I think that's a really, song feels like an accomplishment.
You know, well, both of those, you know, especially the way that kind of hits the middle of the record and closes it out. And I was putting a bunch of things together you just said there too, because it was you know, your love of sci-fi and fantasy and dreams. And I thought, you know, it's 2019, and I appreciate that I've got a phone in my pocket that tells me when to go to sleep. That's hey, this would be a good time for you to go to sleep.
Yes, and I use that. I hear that ding, 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 mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, time for bed. It's a real thing.
We have machines that tell us, that tuck us in, basically.
How to live.
You know, I'll use that as a seg too, because speaking of, this is the other side of that, the more organic side of how to live. Can you tell me about Amber Chocolate and the Uplifters?
Yes. You know, it's been fun and exciting, kind of like writing an album, to create these cannabis projects. But then we've also had a bunch of setbacks, where it's like the Wild West, where all these companies are like looking good one day, and then the next day they fall apart. And so we've had some deals that fell by the wayside, but Amber Chocolate, we had a limited run for that in Colorado, but that to me is my favorite product, because I prefer edibles, because I get more of a clarity. When I vape, I get more of a brain fog kind of feeling. So I like edible, where I feel creative and focused. I don't know why, but it is a different effect for me.
Absolutely.
And I like a lot of CBD in there, because it kind of takes the edge off and keeps you from getting into any like kind of anxious zone. So we're looking to get those out in California. There's some left in Colorado, but our next thing is to re-release the vapes, and we have four different strains: Amber Indica, Beautiful Disaster Sativa, Transistor Hybrid, and Golden Sunlight Sleep. And you know, each of those has an effect that kind of is similar to the song title that it's named after, so it can kind of help people understand what they're going to get.
It's a really great entrepreneurial way I also have knowing your audience too, because I definitely think that the two cultures, what you present musically and the lifestyle that kind of comes along with it. I mean, aside from maybe a selfish reason of liking to have these in your own life, I think that was a really good moment of saying, I think our audience are really going to like these.
Yeah. And it was the type of thing that we would say almost as a joke back in the day. Wouldn't it be great if we could have our own cannabis product sold legally in stores? And we're like, haha, that would be awesome. And then now it's here, you know? So it's something that we always wanted to do. And it's great that justice has come around to support that, because it was pretty absurd that we were, you know, risking arrest and everything for so long. And also just the racial justice of it. I mean, that cannabis prohibition prohibition was used as such a way to harass minorities for so long, saying, well, I smell weed, yanking people out of the car. Well, that's not a true probable cause.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that to pass here in Kentucky. And we'll probably have to get a different regime in office before it definitely will. But it is absurd. Let's see here. 2020, that's next year. That's going to be the 30th anniversary of the band. Does that make things like 311 Day? Does that have to be something more? Or, I mean, is there going to be a major celebration that goes along with this?
Yeah, we're kicking around a lot of ideas right now. And one of which, as I'm talking to Gibson Guitars about having a signature model to celebrate 30 years, but mostly it calls attention to the fact of how rare it is to have an original lineup still intact after all that time. And what that means is there's just an unspoken communication between us when we play together that you can't get any other way than putting in those. I mean, we had 10,000 hours probably when we first made it big back in like 95, because we've already been playing so much. So I can only imagine how many hours we have together. But it also means just having a whole lot of inside jokes. If you could think about how many crazy experiences we have that we just can say two words and everybody chuckles because it's a reference to some crazy experience that we had. But it's a very special thing. And I'm going to continue to take care of it the best I can.
Yeah, I mean, for a band who's been around for as long as you have, has consistently put out albums the way you all have. I mean, I think you're long past that moment, but it's like every year brings an anniversary for something. I mean, even this year, it's the 25th of Grassroots, the 20th of Sound System, and the 10th of Uplifter. You know, and next year it's going to be, you know, two or three more, and on and on and on. That's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, and beautiful things. We're one of the longest running original lineup bands that there is. I understand that U2 and Radiohead and De La Soul have us beat, but we're somewhere in the top five, and that's pretty cool.
That's incredible. Congratulations. Nick, congratulations on Voyager, too. It's been a whole lot of fun to listen to this record, and excited to see you guys out there on the road performing it live.
Glad to hear it.
Well, have fun out on the road, and congrats on Voyager, and thank you so much for the talk today.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Big old thanks to Nick Hexum of 311. The new 311 record is called Voyager. Now, before I get out of here, I'm actually going to include a bonus interview. It was 2017 when 311 released the previous record called Mosaic. And that's also when I caught up with 311's bassist, Peanut. So check this one out as we talk about that massive 17-cut record. Staying true to their all-in mantra, hearing about the process of the Mosaic record and its first single, Too Much to Think. Part 2, Kyle Meredith with 311.
Hi, I'm Peanut from 311.
Hi, Peanut. How are you?
Good, good. What a nice, rich, warm voice you have.
I do appreciate you giving the call today, because I'm excited that we're talking about a new album, Mosaic.
Yes, it's kind of like about time. It was fun to... This seemed like the first time we were really, like, I don't know, like professionally patient about this creation. We knew we wanted to take a while. We didn't want to rush it. There's kind of no need. We were stoked about Stereolithic and how that came out, and wanted to make steps forward from that kind of groundwork that we laid a few years ago. But we didn't want to do the same thing. So, I don't know, Mosaic was a long process and super, super fun. It's like an adventure, just like a patient adventure.
I've heard you guys talking in other interviews about the new directions of this one, and as you say, not wanting to do the same thing. I'd really be curious for you to expand on that, though. What does exactly that mean this time around?
You know, we've been around so long that there's the undercurrent from our fans. They're like, remember this, remember when, remember the like a vintage sound, you know, and I think we did that with Stereolithic. There was a step in the future, and then also like a step in the past, because a few of those songs were like old demos that we rehashed. So they were literally old projects that we freshened up, and that's, I don't know, that's why it sounded so cool. But there was something, I don't know, we're all real different now. So to step forward into the future has always been kind of a goal of the band, and for us to kind of rekindle that fire with the producer and live sound engineer, and then John Feldman with five songs. It's just the perfect little, I don't know, like kind of stab, because it wasn't always comfortable, just in the right direction. I never heard anybody talk to Nick and say like Feldman did. It was great. It was like about time. Like, here's a guy who can push us in a way that we won't push back and be like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. John was like, he's like, come on, man, do it better. He's like, do it again, but do it better. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh my gosh, put my hand up to my mouth. I'm like, I can't believe he just said that. And then Nick smiles and like, okay, let's do this. And like, oh wow. So it was great. Because yeah. we've refused good ideas from some of the best in the industry. Because we're so dead set on our target, which is, you know, I don't know, cloudy and amorphous. We don't even really know exactly what we're going for, but it's kind of hard to take direction from people sometimes. But we know what we're doing collectively, and this was just the time for us to listen, and I think we learned a lot.
311, cloudy and amorphous.
Yay!
Like the headline there. But, I mean, it's true, because what you're almost 30 years as a band, and I know once you get to a certain point, everybody's always going to bring up whatever year it is that for you guys. But, you know, as you're saying, to find that fire for creativity and not just phone it in from, you know, the comfort of your rock and roll rocking chair, I mean, how far do you have to dig to connect to want to go for it? Because, I mean, you guys have got a double disc greatest hits. At this point, you could totally phone it in if you wanted to, but that's not what you're doing.
No, I mean, I don't want to say we ever did that, but we were definitely, like, leaning on that side of creativity, like, oh, we got this. Like, okay, well, here's our demos. Demos sound great. Let's record them. Album. Boom. Call it an album. And this was not that. This was challenging. Like, I sent out a couple of tweets while Nick was coming up with some of the riffs for Too Late, and I'm like, gosh, he's like trying to like summon a troll. Like, there's some really amazing, super dark, but you know, energetic vibe going on that's just perfect for the nerd in me that wants to get out of my kind of guitar patterns and my easy answers, I don't know, my routine, I guess. Mm-hmm. And Nick's been learning so much, so when he comes to the table with new ideas, it's always kind of like a, I don't know, it's like a tongue twister for my hands, and I love that. I eat that up really, really happily. So, I don't know, it's just been like, we're gonna keep trying. Yeah. We're gonna keep digging. And yeah, it's just fun. I think we're excited about what's going on in music kind of in general. I know I've been listening to 5,000% more pop music than I ever have in my whole life, and I can't really explain why, except for that's what they play at SoulCycle.
Right.
So it's having like a really big impact on my appreciation for these like arena kind of style choruses, and I don't know, just making it big. How big can it be? Right. You know, let's see it. Like, how much rock does 2017 want, you know, on the table? And there's room for it. You know, there's pop music going crazy. There's something for everybody in music right now. And for me, it seems like rock and roll is a little quiet in the conversation, and it sounds like a time for us to kind of put on our cape and give it our best shot to update what we think is an important genre, as I pass someone effortlessly in my Tesla. Wow.
Well, I mean, you got
this car is fast.
You get a good example of that with this first single, Too Much Time to Think. Is there any specific story behind that one at all?
That was John Feldman and Nick coming up with that. They called me in after I think they had worked on it maybe a day or two, and I was completely blown away. It's a, you know, cliche town. It was like a breath of fresh air, and it really was in the strangest way, where that axiom really came from would be a good I don't know, beginning. Like, that's exactly what it felt like when I walked into the room. And that's why I was pushing for that to be the first single, as well as the first song on the album. So it's just amazing. I don't know. I could tell we were we were in a really good place. We were in good hands. We could trust this process.
Yeah.
And Feldman was like, you're going to have to trust me. You know, like, I know what you guys want. You guys are going to have to let go for a little bit. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is great. This is exactly what we need. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it's going to be awesome. Like, how are these? What's the result going to be? It's going to be incredible. Bring it on.
Well, I do love that single. I mean, that first listen, it's instant. You know, it's got one of those just feel-good vibes to it. And I know you guys have always sort of had that reputation about yourself, which, you know, is amazing because most of the conversations I'm having with musicians right now is a much darker conversation. And somehow you guys have found out a way, you know, to still have the smiles going on with, you know, I don't know, the way music's working and world politics and how it's all coming together at the moment. And I don't know if that, you know, infiltrates any more of the record, but or does it?
Not really. We try our best to stay kind of apolitical, and there's enough of that going on. But personally, I super feel that weight. If you're non-political in a political time, then it's kind of hard to have a voice. You know, I've read that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how true it is. but I feel the truth in that. There's that, and we could be really impactful if that was our aim. But I think our aim is to kind of tell everybody that everything is okay. You can slow down a little bit, and you can enjoy this reality as strange and confusing as it can be sometimes. It's also okay to just take a deep breath and realize that it's also pretty awesome. So we're gonna always reflect that no matter what.
Well, I cannot wait to hear the rest of this record. You've really set it up nicely for me. So
I think everyone's a strong word as a superlative. We'll enjoy it. There is some old school kind of throwback stuff like riff rock on there. Of course, I mean there's 17 songs, so mm-hmm. we've got a mixed bag of ideas. But at the same time, there's a lot of 311. That you'll not be surprised by on the album as well as the stepping into the future and, oh, look what they did there kind of thing.
Right.
It's great. It's a fantastic album. I'm really excited about it.
Me too. Well, thank you so much, Peanut. It was a real pleasure talking to you today.
My pleasure. Let's do it again.
All right. Take care, man.
Take care. Be good.
Bye.
Peanut from 311 from a 2017 interview behind the record Mosaic. And again, thanks to Nick for the newest 311 interview and their latest album called Voyager. Hey, don't forget, before you get out of here, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the series. Again, we release interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So wherever you're listening from, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you're on YouTube, they make you do it twice because you got to hit the bell as well. But maybe you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your favorite podcasts from, where you can also give a rating to the series, leave a review, or maybe you just want to say hi. I check the series out every now and then, and I'm listening from Texas or Belize. Anyway, just go ahead and say hi. After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, where you can hear the biggest new songs of the day, some anniversary spins, music news, and more of these interviews as well. WFPK.org. ConsequenceOfSound.net, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter, at Kyle Meredith, and Facebook, /Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown in the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.